Hello, Attactioneers. Welcome to the Attack Action Podcast. I'm your host, Taylor Morrow, and I'm the foreperson of the jury box.
I'm your host, the Calling Honigman, and I was going to be a mech player until I decided I can't be a mech player anymore.
Hi, my name is Blake Meyer. I'm your co-host, and I'm winning Calling Portland this weekend, fools.
Let's go!
Call that shot.
And I'm Zane Johnson, and I will be getting second at the Calling Portland this weekend. Let's go!
Let's go!
Holy crap!
Oh my goodness.
Podcast dominance.
Totally. And then,
can you imagine?
Oh, God, dude. We would be almost as dominant as the M&R podcast in that regard. So
we might get like 900 subscribers if we do that.
You know, if we did like the Runaways thing or the Card Guys thing where there was like an unknowable amount of us, we could just say we always like cash or top every event that has ever happened. So maybe we'll just say that like, oh yeah, that's
oh, Brian attack. De La Torre. He's one of us. He's one of us for sure.
Near.
We claim him.
We got 12th at a ProQuest. Done.
There's just 15 Arachnes of us.
Exactly. That would be sick.
We are the Chaos Podcast, so that it just makes sense.
Dude, the fat Arachnes, me. Let's go.
Can I be the hot blonde one?
I don't know. You're not really blonde.
No, because it's Zane.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Okay.
Sorry, Taylor.
That's all right. I don't even know what Arachne I am, so.
You're the original flavor.
Let's go! Okay.
Wait, when did you get a tattoo on your hand? I haven't seen you post on Twitter every day.
I had to dial that back and go, I'm going to do this every week. But I got some content planned for that. Mm. You've been warned, Legends Studios.
We have some ideas for you, too. We were brainstorming before you got on the call.
Oh, okay, good, 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 good. Okay, these are my ideas. I'm basically going to have little word bubbles cut out of Post-it notes and then, like, post it and take a picture of that saying something else and then tag Legend Story Studios and potentially top 10 Gottlieb, Brian Gottlieb, and be like, dude, could we please have a spoiler for our Assassin Action podcast?
You're just going to ask using your hands?
Please.
Demonstrating.
Please.
Demonstrating my commitment to their game.
Have you seen that trend on the internet recently where it's like, I'm not really enjoying the spoiler season for The Hunted. And then when we do ever spoiler card, we're going to go, actually, I'm really enjoying the spoiler season of The Hunt.
No,
bit of a preview of what you could be seeing with our spoiler videos. We're going to do that on the back of a motorbike headed towards Humboldt County Prague.
Sick. All right, before we get into more flesh and blood stuff, that's correct. I have been on jury duty for 2 weeks. Concluded. I got on the jury. I was the foreperson of my jury box. So I led all of the deliberation discussions. I stood up in front of the courtroom. And when the judge said, have you found a verdict? I said, Your Honor, we have. And then I sat back down and we did it. I performed my civic duty. I've got to say, so through this whole process, there's a long, arduous process where the jury selection took longer than the actual evidence in the case. And I would say it's an enriching experience, but I have no regrets. And I would recommend that anybody who can do it, like if your job will do, like pay you to go do jury duty and it's not an impossible thing for you to do, to try to do the whole thing, because it gives you the tiniest bit of hope that our country and humanity are okay. Just you have to be mandated by a court of law and locked in a room by a deputy sheriff to be able to like work out your issues and talk through things very logically and come to the best conclusion that you possibly can with all of the evidence. Like if we had to do that about like our climate crisis, like, all right, I order you to talk about this civilly, use logic. Here are the definitions. Bailiff, lock these 12 leaders into this room and they could only talk to you by hitting this button and then it beeps in their microphone and they'll come and like talk to you if you have questions. Things would get friggin' done.
Is that not how the government works?
No, I believe the government works by somebody sits behind a wooden table and then they're like, we're voting on this. And then most of the people didn't come to work that day. And just everybody's intern has yardsticks and is pressing yes or no on the vote buttons for like 12 different people at once because nobody came to work and nobody regulates it. So that's how our government works.
They don't have to show up to work. But yes. Congrats on doing your civic duty. If you don't want to do that, you could watch that show, The Juror, which was also really good, where they convince some guy that he's on a jury, but he's not. And it's just a reality TV show.
Yeah, I heard that was like really good. It's on defunct Amazon's free TV service or something, right?
Okay. This show was amazing. So none of this, I don't know. It's on some random thing. You can't get X. Ronald is an American hero. Okay. And Blake, nobody could do this to, nobody could be like Ronald. Okay. You should be more like Ronald.
Trying to figure out where to send the people to consume said American hero stuff.
I'll look it up.
It's on Prime. It's on Prime. Just watch it over there if you got that. Or steal it if, you know, if that's up to you and you don't like Amazon, which I think is also fair. Because, you know, anarchy, chaos.
Let's go. Prime for free.
Amazon Prom. You heard it here first.
That's where most of you guys can learn about soaking in depth if you've never had before.
As in the Mormon / religious practice of penetration, but no movement.
Is that what you're referring to, Blake?
Okay. Also, I would like to shout out to my mom, who definitely listens to this podcast, and said to me, you curse a little too much. I was like, well, it's not a kid's show, Mom.
Yeah.
When I asked your mom about the podcast, she said, we do need a blue six. Those are really valid reasons.
She said she would also boycott until we got a spoiler. So we're all in this together.
It's about to be a generational food strike here.
It was like really fun to every day hear Taylor get like really excited about maybe making the jury and then making it and calling his shot and becoming the four person as well, which probably isn't that hard with a bunch of people who most likely don't want to be there. You're like, I want to have the responsibility. They're like, whatever.
Dude, totally. It was like, we got into that room and I instantly went like, I volunteered to be the four person. And everybody was like, absolutely. Yes, you volunteered. Go do it. And I was
we don't have to do it.
I was like, this is no problem. This is literally my job every day of the week where I'm like, all right, stop talking. You start talking. So it was a seamless transition. But shout out to my jury, all the jurors, if they somehow
just lay them off one by one.
Did you give them the extra Hype House stickers? And they were like, what are these?
Yeah, totally. I gave them a Frozen token and a playmat and was like, check out my podcast.
No, this is Chain and this is Prism. And they're fighting.
Yeah.
You gave it to like the DA, prosecutor, and defendant. You're like, listen to my podcast. This is my podcast. Yeah, thanks. Totally. Thanks for letting me be here.
Yeah.
Great. Well, shout out to those listeners that we now have.
They're a great group of people. I appreciate it. Last note about who was on the jury with me. a professor I had from my junior college days who I failed his biology class. Not his fault, entirely mine. I did not show up to that class because
it was fucking super boring.
So, not really his fault, mine. I could have handled that like an adult, but I just stopped going.
It sounds like his fault still to me, but
that's he funny. Checked it. I said that in front of the court too, not the whole part, but I was like, because they ask you, do you know anybody? And I'm like, I know that guy. I failed his biology class like 12 years ago or something. And he found a moment to talk. He's like, so you, how was that experience for you? I was like, dude, I was like 19. I was just like not into going to class, okay? Has nothing to do with you.
Dude, the math is crazy on this.
You grab him by the chest.
Yeah.
So lied to the court?
No, I did not lie.
12 years ago when you're 19? What are you talking about?
Some of us don't want to divulge our real age to the podcast. Okay. Colin, what's going on in your life?
Hit me up and I'll tell you his real age.
I tell everybody my age all the time because it's funny. What's up with me? I don't know. I should have said something more topical than just I was going to play Dio, but now I can't. So we're going to drink this bleach instead. Because without high octane, how else will I get to feel something like that? What else is going on? My dog is trying to enter the room, which is not a door that pushes open. So good luck to her to figure that out. And today I found, or we found, with the help of a hired professional, I think 1, 2, 3, or 4 different leaks in our new sprinkler system that came with the house. So that was cool. The best text that I got today was, "Dad news, there's a leak up front too." And I was like, fuck, dad, no. So dealing with that, there's a bunch of long trenches dug through my new lawn and a bunch of fertilizer that my dog really wants to roll around in. So that nice yard that I was just like, you can just go out there and do whatever you want. I'm just going to be a little,
a lot of rules now.
There's going to be, what do they call them? Like those visits that bad dads get, you know, when they have a divorce and the court has to be there when they visit their kids. Supervised visitation rights. That's what she has with the yard right now. So we'll see how that goes. That sucks. But I'm glad, you know, we got it done, whatever. It's like, I knew this shit was going to happen. That's what everyone says. And it's just like, whatever. It's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. Now my dog is barking at my wife. I'm sure that's going to be fine too. But yeah, that's about it. Otherwise, you know, it's getting cold down here. Taylor, it's getting cold up there. Taylor's got a hat for those listening to the podcast. And
shout out to my mom who made this hat.
Oh, hell yeah. That's a double shout out to Taylor's mom. Anything else? I don't know. I'm getting lunch with Blake tomorrow. That'll be fun.
Good thing you told me because I'm definitely, I will be there tomorrow, bubbing grandma's.
If anyone else wants to go, it's too late because this comes out 3 or 4 days later.
Is that your dog trying to get
that
in
is
again?
My dog.
Birdie.
Let's find out.
Free Blake, birdie. How about you tell us what's going on in your life rather than us just watching Colin's derriere?
Well, Colin's not listening. Thank God he told me about lunch or he would have gone by himself. I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot. My other Survivor podcast. And then I think I'll win on Saturday for the first 4 rounds of the calling and be my best calling ever, you know?
The Colin Honigman?
Do you like how I switched to a different topic when Colin put his earphones on? Yeah, currently in the calling, my best record is 3 wins in a row. So I'm hoping to get 4 wins in a row. And what would be really cool is to just day two, just to be in the conversation, you know.
What are you bringing?
Just Aurora, bro.
Ooh,
this solid ass deck. And I'm gonna bring both marvels, the one with the finger guns and the one with the.
Ooh. Goes from this to this.
And I'm gonna put my freaking tokens under my hero, and I'm gonna see who calls me on it. I'm gonna see who calls a judge, and I'm gonna get a warning every time. And then I'm gonna literally name them and say, "These people don't know that these aren't souls; they're tokens."
I did the Blake Meyer to Patrick the other day. Something happened he was in the adjacent game and he commented on my game. And I was like, could you please not comment on my game?
We are college educated people over here that have played this game for 3 years. We can handle it without you, Patrick. Did you do that?
But I was making fun of you, Blake, not Patrick.
Oh, okay. Perf.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure your friendship with Patrick will last a lifetime.
Well, at least Blake didn't fail biology, though.
That's right. I failed biology freshman year.
Come on, man.
Professor Wendell. That was the key mindset of I cannot be a pharmacist because I do not care about biology as much as the University of Texas wants me to.
Did you fail biology twice?
No, I learned. Okay. I said, do not do this. I got a 0 percentage points, though. A straight up F.
Maybe it wasn't boring and I was just me. I'll go try it again.
Okay, did you fail it 3 times, Blake?
No, you didn't.
Surely you didn't fail it 3 times.
Yeah, I did. Sorry, Mom.
Are you just lighting money on fire as a 20-year-old?
Dude, okay, first, I'll do this real quick. First one was I just didn't know anything. And it was like, oh, half of my grade is going to the lab. I didn't go. Should have gone. Second time was snooze fest. Didn't go. Third time, I tried really hard. And that professor was like, I'm going to make people fail who aren't going to be in the biology field. This is just going to be really hard for biology 101. And we had a lab exam, a midterm, and a pop quiz all in the same week. And I said, nope, fuck this. I'm out. Fuck this lady. No way. And so then I failed the third time. And guess what happened the fourth time? A+.
You became a teacher.
Yeah. of biology.
What, like, how did it inspire you to do this to other people for the rest of your life?
I learned all the don'ts.
Oh.
Nice. Wait, so you did go back a fourth time. We brushed over that.
Yeah, I did, and I crushed it. I went to the lab. I kept going to class. And
you sideboarded in studying and caring about your grades?
Yeah, if I had already done it so many times that it was...
It was easy the fourth time.
It was easy. I was like, oh, yeah, I know
what a nucleus is. Oh, Krebs cycle? I got this one, teach.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, so you know how about you sit down? I'll take it from you.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like, you could be a teacher.
So the mitochondria, okay?
It's the powerhouse of the soul.
Yeah. Zane, what's up with you, dude? We haven't heard a peep out of you.
Yeah. Not a lot. It's been a weird season, but, you know, not a lot going on. Excited to go to Portland. I pulled out my Frostbite token from my binder today because I'm going to play some Icelander in Commoner. And I was just very happy to see my Frostbite again, especially because Jarl's coming. But yeah, personally, not a lot. Not a lot of stuff I want to talk about or you guys want to hear about, I would imagine.
Is there a class that you failed multiple times that you'd like to tell us about?
I was quite good at biology. I was quite good at school in general.
That tracks.
But no, I have never failed a class, but did well in bio. I had a teacher who compared everything to like recipes, and it was actually pretty helpful.
In biology?
Yeah.
Two frogs plus a bucket of boiling water equals dinner, you know what I'm saying?
But like, depending on what we were covering, she would like tie in like how it could be compared. I don't know. It was an interesting way to approach it, and it actually was like a way to just remember things better. So shout out to that teacher. I actually don't even remember her name.
Nice. Well, hell yeah.
Sick. We did it. The intro, it happened. Good job, everybody. And let's move it. On.
That's our show.
That's the podcast, 23 minutes. Colin, how about you do some of this next bit here?
We've got some shout outs. Number one, most important. Actually, cutting myself off here. Number one, most important, shout out to everybody who entered our giveaway. Y'all did it. Y'all did what we asked you to do, which was a couple very specific things and then a bunch of other just pleading for you to do anything. And we got a bunch of people who
and my shaming worked.
Shaming worked. Zane called him out too. Everyone shamed him. And when Zane calls you out, you know, like, you done fucked up.
Yeah, you deserve it. Yeah.
Yeah. He did very good in school. Like, he's not fucking around. He's disappointed in you, but not anymore. We're feeling good. And it was great to see everyone. What heroes everyone wants to play had a great representation across the board. And shout out to our winner, Moises. Shit, I forgot what hero he was going to play. What hero was he going to play?
Ira. Because
that's right. Ninja. Moises is playing Ira at the Calling Portland, courtesy of Fab Foundry and Mr. On It, as they like to call him out there, because it's, you know, it's his formal title. And yeah, thank you to On It, who's a big supporter of the show. And he's putting on the 50th Calling in Portland. This weekend. So when this drops, you might be already there already. So if you're there, good luck. Hope you have a great time. You know who else is going to be there? My boys down here below me, if you're watching.
Hey.
Monsieur Blake and Zane coming in, tag teaming the entire Calling, going first and second.
Whoop, there it is.
I am literally going to play Zane in the first round now.
That is very likely.
And I just told him my entire deck list and sent it to him and asked him for help, and he hasn't even said what he's playing, and it's going to counter me, hit me straight in the gooch, and I'm going to just lose. And
I'm going to call a judge on your tokens as I'm presenting. Yeah,
what the hell?
So yeah, like Zane, what are you playing in the Calling?
Probably new. I haven't had a lot of time to play CC, but I think I'll just fall back on what I like to play right now, which is new.
Tight.
Nice.
Plus, I got some cards back from Japan that are signed. So, like, my surgicals are signed and my hisses are signed and my...
surgicals are signed? That was an option we could have had in Japan?
Sure was.
Dude, I slept on that super hard.
Yeah, and I got the playmat, the like alt art new playmat, so it's gonna be feeling good.
My God,
that's tight, super tight. Well, good luck to you both. Good luck to everyone else going to Portland. I hope it's a great Calling. Crazy that it's hit 50. I don't know. It feels both like not enough and also a very large number.
I felt similarly. When I think my initial reaction was like, I thought there would have been more by now.
I mean, but it is a lot though. I mean, it's been 4 or 5 years. 5 years.
Yeah.
And I think it's
and COVID three. Happened in there. So
three solid years.
Yeah.
But there was technically Callings pre-COVID.
That's true. Like remember when the Living Legends system was, if they win a big event 10 times, they're out.
Limited or not.
Yeah, limited Bravo had like pretty funny.
6 wins. And you're like, he's done for. Thank God.
Yep. Back then you'd get the whole top 8 would get gold tunics. So.
And now we get rainbow foil heroes.
But the Portland Calling has the EA Crown of Providence, which is better than balance, in my opinion.
Is it a chance of getting it, or you get it as the
guaranteed?
Nice. Yeah. That's good. We don't need another Bone Vizier over here, okay? Zane has enough.
I'll take another one. If you got one, let me know.
Hell yeah.
Be the premier collector of sick bone binder. Viziers.
Yeah.
Just like the guy with all the Betsy's. Just all the gold bone viziers.
Yeah, that guy. All known bone viziers. Zane.
All known bone vizier.
Zane, the known bone vizier.
That's
Johnson.
Notable Thanks. Brute mane.
Thanks, Gold. That's funny. Announcements. Okay. December 15th, 5 p.m. on the YouTubes. We're doing our annual live stream podcast. Okay? So I expect you all to be there. It's a rip-roaring good time. In the past, we have had a cocktail. Maybe we'll hit up Mike Popovich of IP5 Cocktails and get a cocktail, make a cocktail for that. How many times can I say cocktail? Yeah, Mike Popoff, critical Popoff Mike. And we'll just hang out. We'll talk to the chat. We'll get goofy. It's usually pretty fun, and it's a great way to just interact with us and for us to celebrate kind of the end of another calendar year of Flesh and Blood. So that'll be the only podcast after this one in December. So we got our one here that you're listening to, and then it's just the live one in December, which that will be on the RSS feed too, so you don't have to feel like if you can't be there, you'll miss out. But you will miss out in some way, but you'll still get to vicariously be there through the downloads on your favorite streaming or download podcasting service. So check that out. It's 5 p.m. West Coast, Best Coast time on December 15th, 5 p.m.
That's a Sunday, right?
I hope so.
Pretty sure it's a Sunday. So clear your schedule, leave church early. You know, tell God that they've got to, get you on the flip side because you got to go watch the Attack Action podcast stream.
Yeah, the second wave of the Godfathers of Flesh and Blood podcasting. So kind of on the same level as the OG.
The New Testament because it's for new.
Bro, I went to a random tree on the way to the Rams game, and it was like, we're going to park in this neighborhood because we can Uber to the Rams game quicker. I was like, what's this tree over here? And it was a tribute to somebody because their kid died early. But the tape, cassette tape, that was the New Testament. And I was like, bro, this is getting rained on all the time. Like, it was one of the craziest experiences ever. It just popped in my head as soon as you said Testament.
The cassette tape? What do you mean?
What do you mean by tree?
We parked in a neighborhood and I was like, oh, there's a tree with a bench by it. And then there was a whole bunch of art in there. A ladder. Here's a fake, not an easel. But there was something that had a lot of stuff in it. And one of the things was a cassette. And I was like, we were like, oh, I wonder what artist it is. And we got closer and then it was the New Testament. We're like, oh no.
On cassette tape?
Yeah.
Just like playing at all times? Or
do you like the New Testament, Zane? Or
just like it was playing at all times? Is that what?
No. It was,
you were just waiting for
a tape that's just laying splayed out. Like anybody can grab this and go put it in their own cassette tape player.
Huh.
I've been thinking about like, how much would a like using a, like a workable Walkman cost me? Because like cassettes are free, basically.
I think it would cost your soul because you would literally turn in the most hipster person possible, zoom in and out of this universe, and explode like a nebula stuff.
Only it's allowable if you could put the Walkman old school headphones on Arachne and then like play his favorite album.
True.
Like
Arachne must be mentioned every 10 minutes.
What a
people must be asking, where is Arachne or what does Arachne think?
He's listening to Oingo Boingo.
They are listening.
Dead Man's Party. They are listening. Yeah, sorry.
Ooh, yeah. Don't cancel us.
Great. They are hunted, not canceled.
Ooh. Tight. Junted. Okay. Main topic time. Bands. Look, dude, guys.
Bands. We got them.
Bands. Stuff happened. High Octane. It gone. Blue, whatever it's called, a blessing that you count. It gone also. How's it going? Zane, talk to me about these bands. Tell me your opinions.
Yeah, I think they were pretty expected, which is good. Like, they didn't go rogue, right? They kind of did what people expected, which was High Octane and Cerebellum together is problematic. Is Cerebellum probably the real problem? Yeah, but it's in the new product. You got to keep it. Let's get High Octane out of here. It's also kind of causing problems with Max. Not that he's winning, but that he's losing his identity by just spamming High Octane and Mechanoid. So I think that I'm glad to see it gone. There's no other real way to cheat action points like that left. I think the stream was like a perfect example of like why it's a problematic card in the current context. And Cerebellum is a more interesting card than High Octane, I think. So I think like leaving Cerebellum and removing High Octane is actually like probably a cooler resolution of that problem. And then blue CYB is weird. People talked about it as an option of just doing one color. I hope it's enough. It's possible. It's still a good approach. But I'm glad to see at least some of it being hit and them acknowledging that Poison the Well is not the best, like the best answer to this weird problem that they've created.
Yeah, I agree. Blake, tell me your thoughts there, sir.
Oh, okay. So I played a Armory this Sunday, yesterday. Somebody was playing Count Your Blessings. And I was like, but here we go. I've got one Poison in the Well. Don't worry. This is all going to work out. And then it was Dash CYB, which Slab Dash, whatever we call this, or Tree Frog Dash, or Count Your Tree Frog Blessing Dash, whatever is the official name. It was interesting because whenever they said the words like I ended up doing pretty well. He's not okay. And then I end up winning. Cool. I end up winning the rematch. But he did say the words, dang, I'm not drawing my blessings. And you're like, when you only have six of them and not nine of them, that is going to happen. Because nine of them is probably once every other hand. Six of them is way less. Of like, think about drawing your Flicker Whist or your Arc Lightnings. And then it's like, sometimes you go forever without drawing those, you know? And so like, that's a thing in my head where I'm like, cool. And then it's the blue where a lot of the strategy was, we're going to pitch the blues to do our more powerful things. And now when you do draw your CYBs, there was a turn where he had four reds and two of them were two reds, count your blessings. And it was like, damn, this really sucks. And I was like, not for me. And like, I think that's the, you're going to get full value out of these, but now it's going to clump up your hands more and be a little bit like, maybe I can't punish you, but just the pure hand texture. I'm never going to say that. Just the pure colors of cards in your decks and what they pitch for don't end up working out for you anymore. So that was great. High Octane. I haven't played a Dio who's like, There are some Dios who are like, oh, I'm really sad. I think I can equal parts. God, this is going to be so hypocritical, but get ready for it. Like, some of y'all have been playing cards for 5 years, but also don't take Blood Rush Bellows. But at least whenever we got rid of High Octane, we gave you a card that can really do some cool stuff. Yeah. But then there are the people who like, oh, here's a brand new person who just started playing a month ago. What deck did he pick out? Max Nitro. And now a month in after buying all this stuff, he's like, well, I'm going to switch to Ira. And it's like, not because he wants to, because literally he cannot do his win condition with because high octane doesn't exist. And it's like, does system reset work on the big ass mech? It's like, no. Or does it? No. It doesn't, right?
I mean,
or does it?
You can kind of do it. You just need a bunch of hyperdrivers after you have the mech. So it slows you down.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, well, you're right. So no, I think no it's problem. An equal parts of like, okay, I did put a meme on my Twitter where it was like me whenever there, if we don't get rid of Count Your Blessings, here's me at every tier 3 and above. And it was a picture of nobody. And now they got rid of a third of the Count Your Blessings, and I am on my way to Portland. I was waiting for the band to see, is it or is it not? And like, I feel like it's enough where it does not feel like it's a done deal. I am going to lose to Count Your Blessings, but I also don't feel like it's going to be, I ought to win against Count Your Blessings because they don't have enough health. I think it is right in the counterplay of the better player will win that matchup now, which is what we want.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, going from, was it 54 health to 30 health? Like, that's pretty significant for a 3-card ban, right? Math wise.
Yeah.
So that makes it a lot.
It's all about exponential math, you know?
That makes it easier. It just is still like it. I guess the interesting part is them saying like, yeah, we're into this idea. This is like part of the roadmap of this game is having this be a real part of it. And later when we print some sets that hate on it a bit more, it will be more palatable. Which, you know, okay, we'll find out, you know. I feel like on some things, you know, they've followed through on what they've said, you know what I mean? And maybe it will be with that next set that comes out. Is it going to be Jhunted? I don't know. Is it the set after that? Who knows, you know, blah, blah, blah. That's kind of my take on it. It definitely is slash was like too nuts of a thing. And it, every time there's a ban like this, like you know, that's a generic card, that's a little too juiced. It just is, I don't get used to it, I guess is what I'm saying, you know, like emotionally. And, yeah. So every time I'm just man, come on.
Ideally, we shouldn't have to get used to it. You'd think you'd learn your lesson on printing, you know, really powerful generic cards, especially in 9 of. I think the weirdest thing about this, on the Count Your Blessings side, the 2 sentences that stick out to me is Count Your Blessings Enigma is what a control deck looks like in Flesh and Blood. And then also from a design point of view, Count Your Blessings is an excellent example of what a control deck should look like in Flesh and Blood. I'm just like, I feel like we already had better versions of control decks in Flesh and Blood that weren't just like, oh, I just put this card in here and I gain a bunch of life and you can't do enough damage to me.
That's like the least amount of control. Like I think it is OG Prism of you're trying to kill me with Starvo, but I'm like the only person who can like heal 3 times, make 4 shields, and then or like, oh, your stuff doesn't do enough damage now because I'm gonna flash in an instant. Or like, don't say the word flash, but
yeah. I mean, like, I kinda get what he's saying because, you know, like, I mean, Enigma does do, I think for Enigma, Counter Blessing doesn't seem like too crazy of a detour from what it seems like people are playing, how people are playing the deck and building the deck. You know, it can do things where it's just like, okay, you're attacking me. Okay, well, I don't take any damage because I play this ward thing at instant speed and that's fine, you know, but I don't know. It's just like, it's just kind of weird to me because I don't know. I feel like this game is more interesting than, oh, I gained a bunch of life and you can't kill me and then you concede. And, you know, it's like, I think, I don't know if we said this on stream last time, but you know, it's like, how do these players like not go to time every time? You know, it's like their game in
genuinely.
Yeah, their game in top eight was like almost 2 hours long. You're just like, and I know they're gonna take their extra time because they can. But it's just like, what a slog. What a, like, there is like some element of it where it's like exciting. You want to see someone overcome it, but it's only exciting from that angle. Like, you have to be like invested in, like, I want to see someone like take this down. But also, it just, I don't know. So, whether or not, I think that's kind of like, I don't know, that's outside of like the band. I think it's an interesting insight into how, Dr. Jimmy Blanco is thinking about this game and stuff. And it's just like, I just thought that was like a weird thing that I was just like, oh, that wouldn't be how I would want to define that. And I feel like in Flesh and Blood, there could be a more interesting version of control deck that is like a bit more, you know, actively doing other things, which it is. I guess I kind of caught myself saying that already with Enigma. It's like, it is doing other things, but like when a bunch of decks are just like, oh yeah, we throw this in nine of, I'm a control deck now. And you're just like, okay, well, this card's dumb, and banning one of them is just kind of like a, I don't know. It feels kind of like dumb. Just like, get rid of the card. I don't know. The only person who it should have been good for is like not going to be able to use it. Like, is Verdant's dominating? No. So then let's just not worry about it.
Yeah.
And then High Octane, I'm just like, I'll come back to High Octane.
Or go ahead. No, talk about High Octane.
No, you go.
I was just going to say, like, the Count Your Blessings would have been so much more interesting if it was like an Earth card or like,
yeah,
even just like, yeah, Earth Wizard. It could be like very, I mean, that'd probably be too good, but, you know, just like, the fact that it's generic, it's always going to like go to the least common denominator of like the least interesting way to play the game. And like, with all due respect, that is what we saw. Like, Enigma is a class or a hero that her whole thing is healing. You know, we don't call it that because it's ward, but like, that's what it is. And then in Living Legend, it's the same thing. It's just Oldham now, right? Like, Oldham did super well at the Living Legend tournament with Counter Blessings because it's always going to go to the like lowest common denominator of like, hey, look at the math. It's so good.
Yeah.
So it should not have been generic. I feel comfortable saying that.
And I think we could literally open this up into something that does make sense. Cause you're like, this doesn't make sense as a control deck. But if anybody sat across from you or you overheard somebody saying, I'm playing control new, I'm playing control Reinar, I'm playing control Zen, like, what does that mean? And is it literally just the same shit every time of put all zero for fours, put every single, okay, you're going to put sigils, you're going to put oasises, you're going to put sinks, you're going to put fates. Azalea in the meta, I'll put it on movable red twice. But like, is there anything more to control decks than just, I'm going to be blocking out for an hour? Because I don't think we've had very defensive cards be printed for like a specific hero or ever. Like, even stuff like Somersault and No Fear is kind of for aggro classes to have a defensive option but not lose their offensive capabilities. And it is kind of like, where's the control deck? And is it literally just ice? Is that the only ice that is what control means in our game of taxing people or making it harder for them to play their cards while swinging a 4-6 damage whole arm for the next 2 months?
Yeah. I don't know that. I mean, I think that's a good question of like, you know, what is the palatable control deck out there? How do we want to see it? Is it ice? I mean, you know, ice was around, people bitched about ice. You know what I mean? So there's a level of like, people will complain about everything and anything. And what is a podcast other than people complaining about stuff?
Okay, wait, real quick, because
yeah.
Blake's example of the like a control deck that he liked was Prism, which I thought was interesting, and I kind of agree with it. But like, if you had to pick, like, in your mind, your favorite control deck in Fab, like, whatever that means to you, because my brain went straight to Icelander, and then Blake's went straight to Prism. Like, I'm curious, like, where do you guys land on like control decks, like, or what it should look like? Because it seems like we all agree. Contra Blessings Enigma is not what we want control to look like. Like for me, like Icelander is like doesn't even block that well. She just has to proactively play the game, participate, interact, deny you value. Like that's an interesting control deck.
Yeah.
Prism similarly.
I think Prism denies value by you have to use up a whole turn to get rid of this Genesis, or four turns from now the game will be over. You want to see how fast this can go? I'm controlling you into playing my game plan, not you can ignore this stuff.
Yeah.
I think for me, I jumped right to Assassins, but I don't know if they're like necessarily a control deck. I mean, I guess if we want to make that term really broad, like their disruption is totally controlling, right? Is that they're trying to force you to not play your game, whether that's with the myriad of things Nuke can do, or the guessing of Azuri, or Arachne's ability to kind of cut out any of your high roll parts of the game and make you play 15 turns by bottoming your cards and that sort of thing. So that's where I go, but I think all three of these examples so far have something in common, right? They're really interactive and are a proactive strategy rather than, I mean, it's one of the things I disliked about early Guardian control decks was, or like early Old Him when it was getting kind of good was, well, or maybe even, I don't know. Okay. At some point in the game, where players were like, I don't know, I'm just going to block, and can you kill me? No, you can't. Okay, you're going to die to my hammer swing now over and over and over because I'm just blocking, and that's basically all I'm doing. I find that also really boring because it's kind of the same thing, right? It's like, I'm not doing anything proactively. I'm just like saying, sorry, I'm blocking. You know, I'm using Rampart, I'm using Crown. And you can't get over the top, really. I'm not going to leak that much damage. Side question to think on while we discuss this more. Would Icelander be the de facto best deck right now? Okay, continue this discussion. Just throw that out there.
I think the best control card that came out, and it's old now, even like a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, is like Tar Pit Trap. And that's kind of a something that I would want for like where's our defensive hero where it's I'm the best defensive hero. Like we're going to stop. Here's our best aggro. Then the next hero is the best aggro. And then the next hero is the best aggro. And then we ban this one to go back to this one. Because that's kind of where we've been over the last year with KO, Zen, Aurora. Which one's better? Zen's now banned. Like, okay, it is Aurora. But like Tar Pit Trap, I think is something that is super cool of – a lot of you guys are going to get a lot of value by your on hits, and I'm tired of it. Let me go ahead and make sure I'm going to block your first attack, and now I don't give a crap about what you're doing the rest of the turn or whatever it does say on it. And like, I think that would be a cool way to design this game to make heroes a little bit different of the really, really crazy defensive hero that comes out is the only one that has access to the card that like, here's a D-react that breaks the chain for the opponent. And like, now you have to deal with this three cards. And instead of it being like legendary traps with Riptide, I do think we wouldn't have seven more Riptide cards if you could just have nine of those legendary traps in your deck. It would be like, oh, he's good enough already. That's why he has 38 health. And now he has 400 more points because he can literally shut down your entire deck over and over again. And maybe they would have banned him to like, you can only have one of these per deck. Or ban it to legendary later, like they did with some other cards. But like I do think Riptide is some cool is kind of like this is cool design, but for aggro decks we go all the way. Like, cause we know how fat like we want people to be doing 15 to 18 damage every turn, but it's kind of hard to go all the way the other way with control without like breaking the game completely, or like this is so toxic to play against. But I think some of the best control decks that we've enjoyed from other card games, whenever I say control, I'm talking about some Hearthstone decks that are absolutely terrible to play against. But it is so fun to be like, I'm healing up 40. I'm eliminating every one of your threats. I'm actually going to take your best card and play it from you. And like, I think if whenever we think of like a Necromancer deck, I hope that's like randomly the huge ass control deck of like use both graveyard, your opponent's graveyard and your graveyard. If it comes from your graveyard on defense, if it comes from your opponent's graveyard, they're on offense or something crazy like that. And like, that's what I'm thinking of when I'm thinking of like, I don't think we have a true control deck where I would go, you're a control player and you've won a national championship in another card game. Play this game, play this deck in this game and you'd win very quickly does not exist currently, because Uldum, Prism, Iceland are all gone.
I think you had me thinking while you were talking there, just like how, I mean, I think they've talked about this too. It's just like on the aggro side, it's like a bit more forgiving to like lean into that, because once you lean into giving, you know, that defensive control hero like really crazy tools, like it does get it. I think it has like a over, you know, it's like a lopsided effect that it could have versus like, you know, an aggro deck and supporting like a couple different aggro decks in a meta or something like that. So I do think it is not an easy thing, but I think, you know, all through this too, I've been trying to think like, oh, what is a control deck that I like think is cool? And I kind of have a hard time figuring it out, because it's both sides. It's the side that Blake just said of just like, oh, it's really cool to like do this thing that's like, you know, I'm just like, I'm doing this. It's like, what are you going to do to me? Like, doesn't matter. I'm doing this. Like, that can be really cool for the one player, but is like, one, it's boring to watch, and two, it sucks to play against it, especially if it's like not something that you're really, you know, able to counter in any meaningful way. And then you just kind of sit there and be like, well, this game was long and, you know, very, very disappointing. So it's, I don't know. It's a weird thing. I do think Riptide seems like the hero that would be like most interestingly control-y, you know? And I think when we've seen cool Riptide decks do things, you know, it's like, oh shit. It's like, it's this, there's a lot of tension because there's a lot of like very specific things and windows they're trying to react to. And it's not just like a blanket, like, doesn't matter what you're doing, I'm going to turn this on and I'm going to gain a bunch of health or just deny whatever you're doing and move on. So I like that idea. I think if I had to pick something, it would probably be like Prism. But I, even in like at the very first calling in the U.S. Oh wait, was it the first calling? No,
the first
calling in the U.S. Before that,
there had been ones before, but that was the first like
the reboot of the calling in Vegas.
When I saw,
maybe it was the first constructed one. Tyler Horsepool's deck. Shout out to the Puddle Pony Man. I was like, that's dumb. Like, Prism should have pummels in it and, like, you know, be doing cool, fun things. But, like, even in the deck that I played that did have pummels in it, like, it felt very control-y because you were doing things that were just like, well, I do this and I do this. And, like, now you have to, like, get around this and I shut down your turn. And then I also pummeled you and drew two cards and I have go again on everything. You're just like, you know, there were elements of it that felt very control-y. And I always enjoyed that. But, again, same thing. People on the other side really didn't like it. So, you know, it's a weird, it's a really weird one. And I'd be curious if there's any like kind of like psychological studies around like that kind of thing in games like this, where it's just like, also just like, where, I don't know, like, where does that originate from? Like, what's the original control card game deck? I mean, it's probably from Magic, but like, you know, I don't know.
Counterspell is some people's least favorite thing. We don't have counterspells in this game, except for negates, and it's a very specific
rewind.
Rewinds just puts it back in your hand. It doesn't even counter it. You can play it again as long as you have pitch for it. I think the other selfish thing about this is Reinar is good against all of these heroes that we set as control.
Thank you.
Time to Reinar is 58 and minutes.
If we did have a large control deck, like Reinar was good into Oldham, yes. For the best Reinar players beat the best Oldham players. They're just never going to be in the top eight to do so. And then I was the only person consistently killing Prisms before Everfest showed up. And then it became, can you roll a four or higher consistently? And then it would be like, you would win the games where you could win, and then you don't beat the Prisms if you roll a three or lower.
Question for you, Blake. Do you think Reinar beats Grigor's Enigma deck?
100 times.
Oh, Zane shakes his head no.
I don't think so.
Let the debate
I think begin. What's interesting is it does come down to when we draw our Blood Rushes.
Yeah.
And it had a better chance than what happened in the finals this time around. But like, I don't want to say 100 times out of 100, because I don't, obviously Grigor, I don't know if he planned for Reinar's. And right, like, what's her face? Enigma is the hardest illusionist for Reinar so far, because if she just snowballs, it's too late. But it is like, it depends on, are you going to be like Rotu? And his latest one has 9 barraging beatdowns, and that number just gets out of control whenever we're getting all the bonuses and all the damages going through. But like, I was thinking like, oh, I would love to money match Grigor for that $100,000 with my Reinar deck right now. Like, that is a thing that went through my head. But I also said that about Tyler Horsepool when I did take Reinar to Vegas. When I heard how well Tyler was doing after day one, I was like, well, I wish I could have played him. I crushed Prism. Everyone's like, shut up. Let's go eat or whatever.
It's just, I had that thought today on my drive home. Like,
we should spend $100,000 to money match Grigor.
No, that with CYB, like, what is Reinar like a sneaky pick? Because then it's like, okay, you got to have it right now. Okay, you don't. You know, that sort of thing. Can't use your cards as efficiently, which that, you know, that's what those decks need to do, is have efficient hands. But probably the variance within the brute class does not allow.
I mean, to go to your point, the thought process for Portland was, I don't want to play, but if everyone does, oh my gosh, new CYB is the best deck to try this stuff out. It is kind of like, all right, maybe I do lean into Reinar and play that and hope everyone's running 9 copies of Count Your Blessings. And like, because what can the deck do if you take those 9 cards out? Are those 60 cards without Count Your Blessings, because they don't want to, oh, I need to be blocking with cards from hand. And if I only have instants from hand, I think you get run over. But we'll never have enough Reinar players to test this theory, because Reinar dies to 4 rune chants, and there's a lot more people making 4 rune chants than there are putting 9 Count Your Blessings in their deck.
Well, because they can't. You only put 6.
Oh, true. I'm sure next meta will be Reinar's, though.
You know, speaking of Reinar and metas, Jarl is Reinar's 5th removed cousin, and that deck is about to come out. Are we excited about this, Zane?
Yes.
Which parts specifically?
The ice parts.
Channel Link Frigid!
The parts that are blue and say ice on them.
Sick. How good is Jarl? Instantly top eights this calling or what? Or is it not out yet?
It's a week after. It's
not out yet.
Black Friday.
I mean, it's going to get waxed by Enigma, so no.
Oh, okay.
Tight. But
it can play Summer's Fall, though. That busted card.
That card is very good. And I feel like it gets memed because people are like, this card's good. And people are like, is that the only thing you can do, though, is tuck blah, blah, blah. I'm like, well, yeah, it's pretty powerful.
Okay. Well, it is. When's the last time
Enigma lost to it?
You need cards in Grave, and if you're blocking against heroes with auras, you're often losing. So, like, if you draw early, it's so bad. I don't know. It's fine.
It's a high skill card. That's what I'm going to say. It's a high skill card.
It's the timing card.
It's called skill.
Colin, you're on Jarl, right?
You know, I am, I don't know. This is where I get into the thing where, like, it on paper sounds cool. I like a lot of things about it. I like the way he looks. I like the way he talks. I like the way he looks at me late at night when we're in bed. But will I enjoy playing this? I don't know. I think I do want to buy it. I think it's like an interesting, I still think it's like a cool thing they did. I like that they also like printed a legendary in here. It seems like other than the actual deck itself, which like looking at it looks a little midzy, I would say. It looks cool. I don't know. I'm a little hesitant about ice coming back, but I also feel like there's so much aggro that it will shake things up. And I think there's enough heroes that I don't know if ice will immediately dominate because of that. It seems like, you know, because of the ability to go in so many different directions, it's hard to really like just build any one deck that doesn't just heal for 50 life or whatever that is very dominant against all the other decks. But yeah, I don't know. I think it looks kind of fun. I think it's like, I'm hoping it's like a cool introduction for people who want to learn a hero. And I feel like the design of it is enticing. And I think that's what we need more of. I think if it plays boring, then it's a bit of a misstep on that side. So we'll have to see. I think, you know, some early feedback on the game video that they released maybe sounds a little boring, but I don't know. I feel like it opens up space for people to explore, you know, Guardian, which has a great, you know, pool of cards, and Earth and Ice, which also have some like really cool cards in it. So I think there's space for some creativity and some skill expression that I think is going to be interesting and hopefully not overly dominant and annoying, but we'll just have to see.
It's kind of cool too that Paul Atreides is one of the most popular characters of all time, and this is Jarl Atreides. So never, ever beating the allegations of, hey, remember this guy? It's kind of like this guy. He's only like 10,000 years ago. We promised, just like Paul Atreides. Okay.
Did we already talk about it? Is this a pun in some way that I don't understand?
No,
I don't believe so.
I bet you it's like mangle in some Scandinavian language or something.
Yeah, I mean, Jarl is a title.
Yeah.
Which
Jarl is a title.
Yeah. It's like,
yeah, it's like a chief.
The Jarl.
Yeah.
Oh, Chief Jarl. Oh, no.
So Chief Betrayedy.
Chief Betrayer? Yeah. Oh, Jarl Betrayedes?
Atreides.
My thoughts on it are like, I mean, I still stand by with new heroes in armory decks is the best way to go, you know?
Yeah.
So far it's happened zero times, but we're this is number one, so we don't know yet.
I think it's the best because then you don't have to print like Cerebellum Processor and have this weird moment where you're like, we tuned that too much and we got to ban High Octane because of business, right? Which, like to Zane's point earlier, is like kind of happening, but also it's like good to get rid of High Octane, but it's hard to detach my brain from capitalism in that decision. You know what I mean?
I mean, two people made $12,000 because of High Octane was not banned.
Yeah, so I think it makes it easier to tune cards when you have new heroes, you know, and then in the existing card pool. I think Jarl will be a solid hero because his card pool is massive, right? Just like his heavy ass Summit the Unforgiving. Maybe the best named weapon. Maybe. Could be. Maybe they
scale
also...
Scale Peeler.
What about Quicksilver Dagger?
No, it's terrible. Summit the Unforgiving might have been his name, which would have been maybe sicker. Can you imagine? Summit. I brought Summit. Okay, maybe not. Really interesting weapon. I think it's a really... I mean, like, that's what it comes down to, right? Is what's the hero ability and what's the weapon? So, pretty cool hero ability, very flavorful weapon that is cool and heavy. So, I really like that, but I don't know if he's going to play it. And if he does, maybe, you know, there's going to be probably a debate for 2 weeks before the internet figures out, oh no, we should be wearing Coronet Peak and still using Summit, or we should be using Ice Cap and swinging Titan's Fist, right? There will be that debate probably.
I want to be.
It's a Nothos. It's always a Nothos.
Yeah, and then it'll just be default. A Nothos will be the hammer of choice for this Guardian.
I don't want to be on any meta where we're playing Titan's Fist, please. We've moved on from Titan's Fist.
What can was
we
the just other?
Leave that one in the history books.
Okay, he can run Redwood Hammer, right? Because he's Earth.
That's so much better.
Technically, yes.
Yeah, and that, what does that one do? I don't even remember.
If you pitched an Earth, it gets plus one, I think. Okay,
so then it goes to four.
Do you think we'll go straight to a Nothos and Vambrace of Determination meta? Because that's where we ended up on Ultimate at the very end. Like,
what every Guardian has to do if Illusionist is ever in the meta.
That was also partially a response to Crown of Seeds, but you know, we will probably see that.
Yes. Yeah. There's also a level of capitalism in this as well. They're like testing the waters of, all right, armory decks are this price, but what if they were $20 more and we just say this card is a legendary? And then, you know, like they just do, that's like what they're doing, right? They're just saying like, let's just print L on this one and give them $20 more. And they're testing that water a little bit. Like, hey, are we going to make as much money as we did on the other ones? Or like sell as many units or more and charge more? Then we should be doing that more often.
So they did bump up the new Majestics too, though. So like, there's always been two new Majestics, and now there's three.
They just make this up, right?
Well, but they are Majestics, right? Like these will be played.
Yeah, yeah. They're good enough to be played for sure. But this is all fake. That this company. Yeah,
this is all fake. This thing up. They made this part up. It doesn't come from the new Testament
Majestics. Sorry.
That they keep a copy of on cassette tape in their office. I just want to say the heavy, I do think heavy is a cool keyword.
And yes.
I think I love a thematic keyword and play style mechanism where it's like, yeah, I'm hitting you. Oh, I lost my shield. Now I got two arms to smash this thing on you, so it does more damage.
And it's heavy.
That's sick. I don't really understand how he uses this with one arm. I guess I see him doing it, but it like
less effectively.
Yeah, it feels very like. Ugh.
It takes half of his intellect to do so.
Yeah, pitch a lot of cards, you know. So,
yeah, and that's the insane thing is it costs six.
Yeah,
you know. Or it costs two cards to do six.
It's unforgiving for both players.
Whoa.
So anyway, I think it's cool, but maybe excited? I'm just Everyone's in excited? A cynical mood. I'm excited.
I think it's cool.
I'm going to pick it up. I'm excited for all Jarl Armory that we have planned. I think it's going to be...
Jarl-mary?
The Jarl-mary.
Yeah.
I'm excited to find the hard counter and then play the hard counter to it. Pretty much you're excited to play some
Enigma?
Pretty much exclusively. Like, whatever deck, send that to me now. Because some of the most annoying people in my Discord are pumped for this. Because they love Guardian. They just can't shut up about it, no matter what's going on. Because I'll go, oh my goodness, I just noticed that Prism passed Bolton. And it's the second Prism. She's lapped another hero from Marnak. How crazy. Two comments later, Discord. Somebody wrote, I'm waiting for Betsy to pass anybody. I'm like, how are you coming? How are you saying anything about Guardian right now? None of this is about Guardian. Why are we? You know what? The temperature today reminds me of the Anothos swing. And you're just like, God damn it. 1 minute without these fucking Guardian. Like, oh, what did Bravo do? We need to make Bravo good again. How about we just dump 500 living legend points on him so I never have to hear about him again?
He doesn't even
a
need
blue six for Reinar though. Look how hypocritical I am every time. That's what makes it fun.
It is what makes it fun.
It is. What were you saying, Zane?
Oh, I mean, he doesn't even need 500. He only needs 250.
Give him 500 so we can make sure they don't. Oh, we're going to divide. This season was a little too fast for Bravo after all these years. We decided to multiply his by 0.89. That way he's back to being unliving legend, but everyone else is still bad. Like, that was the most weird shit with, like, you think I'm going to play Blitz in December? I think December is always a hard month for living. What is this game called? Flesh and Blood? Because it does seem like Z-Land takes the whole month off. They do the, like, everyone can just go live. We don't really have any product plan. We do have spoilers halfway through, but you got to wait 17 days into December. And it feels like a doldrum time again of, like, do you guys want to play Blitz again? It's like, not really, especially if you're going to let Zen come back in. Like, what do we do wrong?
But, Blake, don't you want your cracker baubles?
Oh,
no. Dude, no, these are incredible. I want as many of these as I can get.
I will literally send you mine in the mail.
There's 20 different.
I value your friendship.
I appreciate that. There's eight. There's eight on the screenshot or whatever, the teaser, but there's 20. So there's 12 of these that we haven't seen.
Levi is pretty psyched on these. He's like, I need kind of infinity of these for my, like, Yorick UPF cube. And I'm like, okay, that's a cool idea.
But you can get Soul Shackles.
I just don't care.
Your next Rune Blade.
This did not hit for me. I mean, I get it.
Really?
And I hope that when the holiday spirit is upon me and we get to this moment, I come back on the pod and I'm like, that was so fun. I'm eating my hat. I hope that happens.
Do you rip the card in half?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's you like and your a opponent double, wishbone it.
Yeah. It's like two mini tokens.
It's also a clever way of getting every token into mini token form. If for whatever reason you prefer them in mini, you can now have whichever one you want.
Wait, we should find a unique way to get every token in cold foil form for people that don't want to just waste a whole day doing side events. And that's only if you're good at side events.
It's called spend money.
I don't have any money. I'm poor.
I do need the white Enigma Spectral Shield. I need, even though I won't even use it.
You still don't play Enigma.
Maybe one day I'll play Enigma. Who knows?
I think my greatest part of my collection is that I own every conceivable version of Regicide. Foil, non-foil, extended art foil.
Do you have the mini Regicide token, though, that is on the back of one of these?
Not yet. Speaking of Regicide, can we talk Junted for a second?
You mean the Juan Ted?
Is it Hunted or Wanted? I'm so confused. I think one other thing, we just talked about Yarl and never said the word Oaken Old. We're going to hate that card in about a month. So,
dude, it already
banned in 2 months. Yeah.
Okay, Hunted time. December 17th. I'm pumped. What about you guys?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Wait, sorry. December 17th. Tell me more. That's
the rumor for when top 10 Gottlieb, Brian Gottlieb, said he would unveil some sort of chaos or like what Arachne does or something like that.
Oh, yeah. He's going to say that's when they explain what chaos is.
I think so. Or what the Arachnes do or something like that. Somebody posted on Blue Sky. Shout out to Blue Sky. Hit me up on Blue Sky, that they hope that the Arachnes are like all different demi heroes you can transform into, and that's like a sideboard consideration, and your opponent doesn't know which Arachne you're going to turn into when you start the game.
Scotty doesn't know.
Which I thought was a cool idea. I was like, that's really cool. My other idea was they're the back parts of equipment. And then my other idea was we're just doing full-on Dromai, and now silver are the ash material that you need to play your new Arachne allies upon.
Hmm.
Anyone can be Arachne?
Say that again?
Like anyone can be Arachne? You can summon more Arachnes? You pay them the right price.
Yeah. Hmm. And that's your like tactic for, you know, losing your tail, you know, is like it's the Guy Fawkes maybe scenario, you know, where everybody's Guy Fawkes wearing the Guy Fawkes mask for Vendetta. So you can't arrest the OG.
And how does Lupine Fiasco fit into this?
It's Lupine Fiasco's Hunted X. That's the name. That's the full name of the
Hunted X World Tour.
Blake said that thing, something very similar about like you don't know which like hero they're gonna be, and they like it like swaps. And
I think they were listening to our podcast, and then you were like, that sounds way cooler coming from someone I trust.
So they trust this random person on Blue Sky I've never met before. Versus Blake, my close personal friend.
Somebody did finally say, like, oh, I can't go to World Tour Kuala Lumpur. And I was like, what the hell are they talking about? And then it was like, oh, it's either a calling or a battle harden. And like, I don't think I'm ever gonna like not one point did my mind think, I'm going to World Tour Portland this weekend. It's like, no, it's the calling Portland.
That's the confusing part, is Portland was announced before World Tour, so it doesn't get the rebranded name, even though it contains all parts of World Tourness, but is outside of the World Tour timeline. And we, in the background of this podcast, have now figured out the rebranding for World Tour. We're just going to call it Lupine Fiasco's World Tour.
Yes.
So shout out
Fiasco's World Tour, but people are going to say, oh, is it a calling or is it a battle hardened? That's going to be the first question every single time someone says, oh, World Tour Portland.
No, it's all calling, of those things.
Calling or battle hardened. But they'll go, I want to win a bunch of money with a bunch of people. Because I think there's maybe some people that'll be like, I do enjoy Battle Hardens being 80 people because then I can finish in the top half. I can't finish in the top half of 699 people that show up. Like, there's maybe some people that'll be like, I'll skip it if it's a calling because I want to do this. Or if World Tour Portland is a calling, I'll just do side events.
Lupine Fiasco's World Tour is the encompassing weekend. It's the Friday, the calling, and the Sunday.
He's going to be there all 4 days.
What Blake is saying, though, is like they're going to call events World Tour whatever, and then that's not going to have a calling or vice versa when they want it to, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you should have, I'm going to go to this World Tour event and be like, oh, it's there's not a calling here. It's just a battle heart. And you're like, oh, fuck, I didn't know. I mean, I guess it still says that on all the things. Like, it's this.
You,
but like,
you really have to make a silly mistake, but yeah.
It just feels... okay, here's what I'm going to say. None of us like the name.
I'm neutral. I think it's fine.
Zane doesn't like it either.
Zane hates it. Zane if he's told neutral, me, that's do like not bad tell them news. My real feelings.
That's good. Like when Dad says he's not mad, he's just disappointed.
Is Lupine Fiasco going to be there to sign stuff? And we can wait in
at
line?
Every Lupine Fiasco's world
tour. Can wait in Lou Line Fiasco? No, that doesn't work. It's a different syllable. This is a real fiasco-like line. Well, he's going to just come with the second emperor gets assassinated, the re-regicide, where they redesign the card where it can be played against other heroes.
Why did we decide Lupine Fiasco was the name?
Because he pointed out that, of course, the company that distinguishes between professional tour invites and professional tournament invites, of course, would call their world tour that encompasses their world championship a thing.
Gotcha. That's right. Shout out to Lupine Fiasco. There's literally so funny it took over our brains, and then we gave you the branding rights to the whole world tour.
Post pictures of the jet skis so we at least see how cool they are. So whenever the zero thought is put in on all of these decisions, we can go, I get it, boss. I would also get in that water as soon as possible. I do not know how you guys don't all have tans.
What were you saying, Zane?
There's just literally another example of legendary and legendary in the game, which is come on, like,
legendary. I got a heart of Findle. It's a legendary. No, it's a fable. No, it's a legendary. It says it on the card.
Yeah, totally. If we sat here for another 40 seconds, we could think of another scenario where that.
Those are the comes two main up. Ones. PTI there's and
there's
legendary.
There's gonna be like 15 arachnids, and it's gonna be hard. Which one?
Yeah. I mean, there was Prism, Advent of Thrones, and then Prism something, Sculptor of Arclight, right? There's like three Prisms Awakener, you could play
Awakener
in Prism.
Awakener of Soul.
Awakener of Soul, yeah.
Lupine Fiasco's kids are going to come up to you, Taylor, in 20 years and go, why'd you get the bad arachne tattooed on you? And you're like, what? Come on, man.
God. Lupine, your kids are dicks.
Go tell your dad to give me an autograph.
Ask him if I could come on his world tour.
Okay. I think we did it. If we're divulging into a 20-year plan where some little snot-nosed kid freaking yells at my hipster tattoo in my face, then I think we're cooked as a podcast right now.
Yeah, but then your tattoo yells back, right?
Yeah. It's called me just punching a child because I'm in my 50s and give no shits anymore.
You're in your 50s in 20 years?
Yeah.
Which was 12 years after he was 19.
That is
Everybody's figured it out now. The math has come full circle. Remember, everybody, we love you and we appreciate you. And if you want to support us, join our Patreon. We need people to hang out with. And the people we already hang out with are needing of more people to hang out with, so we don't have to hang out with them as much. Just kidding. I love hanging out with all those people. So join it. Get on there. $4. And all you get to do is just support this podcast, which we really appreciate. It's always going to be free. It's always going to be weird. And Colin has a point of order. More deer.
Just so you know, if you are like, you know what, finally, this was the episode that did it. Lupine's Fiasco's World Tour 102 episode of the Attack Action Podcast. I am going to support them. If you do it on iOS Patreon app, there's some weird stuff going on with how they charge things now. So if you don't want to have to pay like an extra, I forget what it is. Do it through the website. Don't do it on your phone. There's less shenanigans going on with how Apple controls their ecosystem. So just a heads up. Does it affect you if you already support us? Because if you do, we love you. And we asked them not to change it for you. And they did.
There you go.
Look at anybody, what we did for you.
Yeah. Great lengths. We talked to Turtleneck Guy from the grave and we're like, make it so. And he was like, oh, because he's dead.
Are you talking about Lupine Fiasco's Steve Jobs?
Yes. Anybody got anything else they want to talk about before we leave? Because we've done it. We've created the perfect podcast episode. So could only get better.
Colin, when are we eating tomorrow?
1 o'clock, Bub and Grandma's. And I'll see everyone else there as well.
We'll post a picture of food so people will
know. Oh, yeah, in the food channel in the Discord.
Yeah. Let's go. And if you join, you'll see it. It'll be there.
Goodbye.
Wait, we're not allowed to say Peter Dinklage?